Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department today says that the Producer Price Index, or final demand, which measures changes in the prices firms receive when they sell goods and services, increased a seasonally adjusted 0.1% last month from June. Food prices rose 0.4% in July. Energy prices fell 0.6%, including a 2.1% decline in gasoline prices. Over 1,300 tons of genetically modified corn from the U.S. was returned on Thursday from China, according to a report in Chinese state-run media. The report says the corn was found to contain the unapproved MIR-162 GMO strain. Some of the corn was destroyed immediately. The remainder was sent back to the United States. There's been a data breach at a number of Super Value grocery stores, as well as some of its standalone liquor stores. Super Value today says that hackers accessed a network that processes store transactions, account numbers, expiration dates, cardholders' names, and other information. Stores in Minnesota, Virginia, Illinois, Maryland, and Missouri may have been affected. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 110,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2014-15 marketing year. And foreign buyers of U.S. Treasury securities increased their holdings in June, topping $6 trillion for the first time. The Treasury Department reports that total foreign holdings rose 0.6% to $6.01 trillion, up from $5.98 trillion in May. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,717 is up 35 points. The NASDAQ 3987 up almost 20. The S&P 500 1957, it's up 4 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The change in the U.S. weather forecast has been suggested in some of the model data today. That change includes a ridge of high pressure that may build up across parts of the Midwest as we get into the middle to latter part of next week. This ridge of high pressure is going to change the pattern a little bit, forcing greater amounts of rainfall, possibly over the western Corn Belt and Plain states, while a little less rain occurs in the eastern Midwest, and we'll see warmer temperatures throughout all of the region. Now, the change, it may sound like it might be a little bit worrisome because it is a ridge of high pressure after all, but we have to remember where we are in the calendar and where we are on soil moisture, and a large part of the Midwest still has favorable subsoil moisture, and we do expect showers and thunderstorms to occur ahead of the ridge building that will likely take place next week. And as long as we get the rains as advertised and as long as we can maintain that subsoil moisture level, a lot of these late season crops will go ahead and finish out in a very favorable manner. Yes, there are some dry pockets out there that have not done very well with rain, and we will be watching those areas rather closely. Those areas include places like northeastern Iowa and southern Minnesota, southwestern Wisconsin, and a number of counties across central Illinois and also in parts of central Indiana. These areas are going to need a little more rainfall to avoid crop stress later on in August and early September. But the question is, how much damage can we really do to the crops with the situation being what it is? these crop areas are low on moisture and they are being stressed already. But if they get a little bit of rain before the ridge develops, and the ridge itself doesn't last too terribly long, the impact on these crops may only be a temporary period of greater stress, and the impact on production may be smaller than what many people would expect. The ridge of high pressure is not unusual, and it certainly is not out of line with what logic says. The 18-year cycle has supported this for quite a while, that we would get beyond the middle part of August and start seeing some drier and warmer tendencies. As we go through this period of time and we do get into this pattern, it will should set us up for some faster crop maturation rates as we get into the first days of September. Also, what's really important to keep in mind is that as the ridge builds up and then eventually shifts back to the plains and western corn belt as we get to the end of the month and early September, this will likely remove the risk of frost and freezes occurring early in the upper parts of the Midwest, since the ridge will be in place keeping all the cold air pushed way off to the northwest outside of corn belt country. And so that will help to support those crops in the upper Midwest, deal with the changing weather pattern and dealing with the fact that crops were late going into the ground and are still immature. As time moves along, we'll likely see a continuation of favorable crop weather, I think, for most of the Midwest. As we go into September, we'll get drier, though. Well, meanwhile, back here in the near-term portions of the forecast, I still expect to see rain and thunderstorms in quite a few areas as we go through this next 5 to 7 day period. And I am thinking that there will be a notable warm front in the upper parts of the Midwest at some point next week when the ridge of high pressure starts to build up, and it could produce some better rain than expected in some of those drier areas in Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We'll watch for that. Our temperatures are expected to trend warmer, but over the next several days, they will be seasonable. We'll look for a lot of 80 and upper 70 degree readings occurring across the region on a daily basis, and we'll likely see the nighttime lows mostly in the 60s, but a handful of lower 70s will be possible in the southwest, and there may be some upper 50s across the north. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat is 608 and a quarter, up a quarter. Soft September, 538, up three quarters. September corn, 365 and three quarters, up three and three quarters. December, 377, up three and a half. September soybeans, 1101 and three quarters, up three and a half. November, 1057 and three quarters, up one and three quarters. September soybean meal, 384.60, up 220. September soybean oil, 33.23, down 28. August live cattle, 150.70, up 70. August feeders, 216.20, up 107.5. And October lean hogs are 96.97.5, and they are up 172.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Had some numbers from Farm Service Agency. They said that 1.54 million acres of corn were not planted in 2014, and that 827,131 prevented acres for soybeans. Now, USDA doesn't do a one-to-one thing, but clearly there's less acres out there today than there were yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably not too far off than what people were probably expecting. I mean, the hard part about those FSA numbers is they release them basically as they get them, and every year is a little bit different on how quick that comes in. I know just from experience here in our office, you know, we kind of had some areas that were kind of late spring and stuff, so we didn't maybe get the acres reported as, you know, in they didn't get in the FSA and report as quickly maybe in some areas as they had maybe in some years. So I don't know. I don't see that that's a huge surprise, I guess, at this point.
On the technical charts, though, we're out of the well both in corn and soybean.
Yeah, we finally got up there and filled that gap on the Dease corn at 375 to 77, I think it was, and I think that's probably going to slow things down here a little bit for now, but the thing was that we tried to break through the support area down there on Dease corn. We really couldn't do it. We didn't get a real bearish report from the USDA to push us through that. So I think, you know, the natural thing was to maybe take some profits out of your positions, and we've kind of seen a little bit of a rally back here at this point. Soybeans, they're just kind of a back and forth commodity. I think you and I were talking earlier, the weather is a big factor. We are getting some rain in some of the northern Iowa, southern Minnesota area today where they need it. But, you know, getting some rain across here this weekend across the belts, probably going to be a little bit negative to beans, but helpful for the crops, certainly.
Well, 10.38¾, that's this week's low.
Mm-hmm.
And often in August you get the seasonal low.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility, but I guess if we see the crop develop and some, you know, start to see some good yields and that coming in when we get into the September period and get the harvest in late September, I think that, you know, we still have a possibility to go lower myself. I wouldn't be quite ready to call that low in at this point.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. September corn is 366, up 4. December, 377¼, up 3¾. March of 15, 390½, up 3¾. November soybeans are 10.56¼, up 1/4. July of next year is 10.86, up 0.5. September soybean meal, 384.40, up $2. September soybean oil, 33.22, down 29. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.